Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning. Oh, and the word that God gave me is, it's better to be righteous. It's better to be righteous than to be wicked. And we know in our day and age that we are going through right now, it's a whole lot of wickedness. But we know that our God is righteous and great and greatly to be praised. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning praying for righteousness, praying for our Holy Spirit, praying for all things that are good and perfect that only can come from you. Lord God, I lift up this word today and ask you, Father, to guide and lead me, asking you, Father, that all things will work for my good, Father God. For I am your daughter, and you are my father, and I ask you, Lord God, to lead and guide me in the way that I should go, Lord God. I ask you to increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart this morning be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and my redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name I look up, lift up, and ask you, Father God, let this word permeate the atmosphere, that someone who needs to hear a word from you, that it will, for someone who needs to hear a word from you, that it will touch their hearts, their minds, and their spirits, that they will say, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're having a few voice issues this morning. So, again, always looking for readers. So if you are someone that likes to read, dial 213-943-597. And your line will be open. And let's get started. It is better to be righteous is our title this morning. And it is coming out of our Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 11. So let's get started in Numbers chapter 5. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camp in the midst of which I dwell. And the children of Israel did so and put them outside the camp, as the Lord spoke to Moses. So the children of Israel did. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. When a man or a woman commits any sin that men commit in unfaithfulness against the Lord, that person is guilty. Then he shall come, which he has committed, he shall make restitution for his trespass in full, plus one-fifth of it, and give it to the one he has wronged. But if the man has no relative to whom restitution may be made for the wrong, the restitution for the wrong must go to the Lord for the priest, in addition to the ram of the atonement with which atonement is made for him. Every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring to the priest, shall be his, and every man's holy thing shall be his. Whatever any man gives, the priest shall be his. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, if any man's wife goes astray and behaves unfaithfully toward him, and a man lies with her carnally, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband, and it is concealed that she has defiled herself, and there was no witness against her, nor was she caught. Spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife who has defiled herself. Or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife, although she has not defiled herself, then the man shall bring his wife to the priest. He shall bring the offering required for her, one-tenth of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil on it, put no frankincense on it, because it is a grain offering of jealousy, an offering for remembering, for bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. The priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle and put it into the water. Then the priest shall stand the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, and put the offering for remembrance in her hand, which is the grain offering of jealousy. And the priest shall have in his hands the bitter water that brings a curse. And the priest shall put her under oath and say to the woman, if no man has lain with you, and if you have not gone astray to uncleanliness while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water and that brings a curse. But if you have gone astray while under your husband's authority, have defiled yourself, and some man other than your husband. Let me go back. I lost my spot. Has lain with you. Then the priest shall put the woman under the oath of the curse, and he shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people. When the Lord makes your thigh rot and your belly swell, and made this water that curses the curse, that causes the curse, go into your stomach and makes your belly swell and your thighs rot. The woman shall say, amen, that be it. Wow. Ooh, that's nasty. But I'm saying, what are they doing to the man that committed the adultery with her? It's like the woman is getting the curse and the man is going scot-free. Let's keep reading, see what happens. Then the woman shall say, amen, so be it. Then the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall scrape them off into the bitter water, and he shall make the woman drink the bitter water that brings the curse. And the water that brings the curse shall enter her to become bitter. Then the priest shall take the grain offering of jealousy from the woman's hand, shall wave the offering before the Lord and bring it to the altar. And the priest shall take a handful of the offering as its memorial portion, burn it on the altar, and afterwards make the woman drink the water. When he has made her drink the water, then it shall be, if she has defiled herself and behaved unfaithfully toward her husband, that the water that brings the curse will enter her and become bitter, and her stomach will swell, her thigh will rot, and the woman will become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, then she shall be free and may conceive children. It is the law of jealousy when a wife while under her husband's authority goes astray and defiles herself. Or when the spirit of jealousy comes upon a man, and he becomes jealous of his wife, then he shall stand the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute all the law upon her. Then the man shall be free from iniquity, but that woman shall bear her guilt. And again, it still comes back down to, why does she have to go through all of this, and he goes through nothing, because he's the one with the jealous spirit, especially on a wife that has done nothing wrong. You know, that's, I'm sorry. You know, I understand we go with the word of God. But sometimes it seems like God's word was so unfair, and what God brought down was so unfair to women. You know, what about, and I still go back to the woman, it's like, what about the man that was with her? She could not have committed adultery by herself. Why is she going through all of this? And he goes again, scot-free. You know, I don't know. We'll keep reading because maybe God will show us what happens to the adulterous man as we go through the Word of God. Because, again, a woman can't commit adultery by herself. Because this is just, you know, if you commit adultery, your legs go right off. Come on, that's some stuff. And then if you go back into a life lesson from this Numbers chapter 5 verse, it says this. He shall confess the sin which he has committed. Confession of sin is a prerequisite for reestablishing close fellowship with the Lord. Since all sin is unfaithfulness to God, we must admit to him how we have been unfaithful. But I do have to say this as we continue in into chapter 6. It's not worth committing adultery for your stomach and your leg, for your stomach to be all picked up and your leg to rot off. That is just nasty. So as when you say back in those days to women, keep your legs closed because it's not worth your legs to rot off. That is just, woo, Lord help us. You know, I'll keep it real, but that is some awful stuff. You know, and it, what it say, and if she has defiled herself and behaved unfaithfully toward us, that the water that brings a curse will enter her and become bitter, and her belly will swell, and her thigh will rot. Yeah. Just had to go there one more time. Yeah. So let's keep it moving. Chapter 6 of the Word of God in the book of Numbers. And it says this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when either a man or woman consecrates an offering to take the vow of a Nazarite, to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall drink neither vinegar made with wine nor vinegar made with similar drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat fruit, grapes, or raisins all the days of his separation. He shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, from seed to skin, all the days of the vow of his separation. No razor shall come upon his head until the days are fulfilled for which he separated himself to the Lord. He shall be holy. Then he shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow all the days that he separates himself to the Lord. He shall not go near a dead body. He shall not make himself unclean, even for his father or his mother, for his brother or his sister, when they die, because his separation to God is on his head. All the days of his separation, he shall be holy to the Lord. And if anyone dies very suddenly besides him, and he defiles his consecrated head, then he shall shave his head on the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day he shall shave it. Then on the eighth day he shall bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall offer one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering, and make atonement for him, because he has sinned in regard to the corpse, and he shall sanctify his head that same day. He shall consecrate to the Lord the days of his separation, and bring a male lamb in its first year as a trespass offering. But the former days shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. Now this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and he shall present his offering to the Lord, one male lamb, in his first year without blemish, as a burnt offering, one ewe lamb in its first year without blemish, as a sin offering, one lamb without blemish as a peace offering, a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and their grain offering with their drink offering. Then the priest shall bring them before the Lord and offer his sin offering and his burnt offering. And he shall offer the ram as a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord with a basket of unleavened bread. The priest shall also offer its grain offering, its drink offering. Then the Nazarite shall shave his consecrated head at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and shall take the hair from his consecrated head and put it on the fire, which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall take the bull shoulder of the ram, one unleavened cake from the basket, and one unleavened wafer, and put them upon the hands of the Nazarite after he has shaved his consecrated head. And the priest shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. They are holy for the priest, together with the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering. After that, the Nazarite may drink wine. This is the law of the Nazarite, who vows to the Lord the offering for his separation. And besides that, whatever else his hand is able to provide, according to the vow which he takes, so he must do according to the law of his separation. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Numbers chapter 7. Now it came to pass, when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle, that he anointed it and consecrated it and all its furnishings, and the altar and all its utensils. So he anointed them and consecrated them. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of their fathers' houses, who were the leaders of the tribes and over those who were numbered, made an offering. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, a cart for every 2 of the leaders, and for each one an ox, and they presented them before the tabernacle. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, accept these from them, that they may be used in doing the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall give them to the Levites, to every man according to his service. So Moses took the carts and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. 2 carts and 4 oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon, and according to their service, and 4 carts and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari, according to their service, under the authority of Itamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But to the sons of Korah he gave none, because theirs was the service of the holy things which they carried on their shoulders. Now the leaders offered the dedication offerings for the altar when it was anointed. To the leaders offered their offerings before the altar, for the Lord said to Moses, they shall offer their offering, 1 liter each day, for the dedication of the altar. And the one who offered his offering on the first day was Nashon, the son of Aminadab, from the tribe of Judah. His offering was 1 silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour, mixed with oil as a grain offering, 1 gold pan of 10 shekels, full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 1 male lamb, in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goat as a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace, offering two oxen, five rams, five male goats, five male lambs in that first year. This was the offering of Nashon, the son of Aminadab. And I love the five because we know five is grace. He was going for grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 7, verse 18 of the book of Numbers. On the second day, Nethanel, the son of Zohar, leader of Issachar, presented an offering for his offering. He offered one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour, mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels, full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goat as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five lambs, five male goats, five male lambs in that first year. This was the offering of Nethanel, the son of Zohar. On the third, Eliab, the son of Elon, leader of the children of Zebulun, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which 130 shekels and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goat as a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in the first year. This was the offering of Eliab, the son of Elon. On the fourth day, Elazar, the son of Shedeur, leader of the children of Reuben, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goat as a sin offering, and as a sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, five male lambs in that first year. This was the offering of Elazar, the son of Shedeur. On the fifth day, Shalumiel, the son of Zerushaddai, leader of the children of Simeon, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels, full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goat as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, five male lambs in that first year. This was the offering of Shalumiel, the son of Zerushaddai. On the sixth day, Eliezer, the son of Duel, leader of the children of Gad, presented an offering. His offering was what? One silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one lamb, one male lamb in its what? First year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goat as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offering, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 male lambs in that first year. This was the offering of Eliezer, the son of Duel. On the 7th day, Elishama, the son of Amuel, the leader of the children of Ephraim, presented an offering. His offering was 1 silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, 1 gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goat as a sin offering, and as a sacrifice of peace offering, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs in their what? First year. This was the offering of Elishama, the son of Amihud. On the 8th day, Gagamiel, the son of Pedasor, leader of the children of Manasseh, presented an offering. His offering was 1 silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, 1 gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 1 male goat in its first year as a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goat as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offering, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs in the what? First year. That was the offering of Gagamiel, the son of Pedasor. On the 9th day, Abadan, the son of Gedanai, leader of the children of Benjamin, presented an offering. His offering was 1 silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels. 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine wine, fine flour, mixed with oil as a grain offering, 1 gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goat as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offering, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Abinadab, the son of Gedanai. On that 10th day, Ahiezer, the son of Amishadai, leader of the children of Dan, presented an offering. His offering was 1 silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels. And 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, 1 gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 1 male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goat as a sin offering, and as a sacrifice of peace offering, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats. 5 male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Ahiezer, the son of Amishadai. On the 11th day, Bagal, the son of Akron, leader of the children of Asher, presented an offering. His offering was 1 silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, 1 gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, 1 young bull, 1 ram, 1 male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goat as a sin offering, and as a sacrifice of peace offering, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, 5 lambs in that first year. This was the offering of God, the son of Akron, on that 12th day, Ahira, the son of Enan, leader of the children of Naphtali, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as a sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in that first year. This was the offering of Ahira, the son of Enan. This was the dedication offering for the altar from the leaders of Israel, which was anointed 12 silver platters, 12 silver bowls, 12 gold pans. Each silver platter weighed 130 shekels, and each bowl 70 shekels. All the silver of the vessel weighed 2,400 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The 12 gold pans full of incense weighed 10 shekels apiece, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The gold of the pans weighed 120 shekels. All the oxen for the burnt offering were 12 young bulls, the rams 12, the male lambs in that first year, 12 with their grain offering, and the kids of the goat as a sin offering. Sin offering 12, and all the oxen for the sacrifice of peace offering were 24 bulls, the rams 60, the male goat 60, the lambs in the first year 60. This was the dedication offering for the altar after it was anointed. Now when Moses went into the tabernacle meeting to speak with him, he heard the voice of one speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was an ark of the testimony, from between the two cherubim. Thus he spoke to him. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and say to him, when you arrange the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light in front of the lampstand. Aaron did so. He arranged the lamps to face toward the front of the lampstand as the Lord commanded Moses. Now the workmanship of the lampstand was hammered gold, and its shaft to its flowers it was hammered work, according to the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses. So he made the lampstand. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them ceremonially. Thus you shall do to them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purification on them and let them shave all their bodies and let them wash their clothes and so make themselves clean. Then let them take a young bull with its grain offering, a fine first, a fine flour mixed with oil, and you shall take another young bull as a sin offering. And you shall bring the Levites before the tabernacle meeting, and you shall gather together the whole congregation of the children of Israel. So you shall bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord like a wave offering from the children of Israel, that they may perform the work of the Lord. Then the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the young bulls, and you shall offer one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering to the Lord to make atonement for the Levites. And you shall stand the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and then offer them like a wave offering to the Lord. Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. After the Levites shall go in to service the tabernacle meeting, so you shall cleanse them and offer them like a wave offering for they are wholly given to me from among the children of Israel. I have taken them for myself instead of all who open the womb, the firstborn of all the children of Israel. For all the firstborn among the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them to myself. I have taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn of the children of Israel, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel to do the work for the children of Israel in the tabernacle of meeting, and to make atonement for the children of Israel, and there be no plague, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come near the sanctuary. Thus Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So the children of Israel did to them, and the Levites purified themselves and washed their clothes. Then Aaron presented them like a wave offering before the Lord, and Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. After that, the Levites went in to do their work in the tabernacle of meeting before Aaron and his sons, as the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this is what pertains to the Levites. From 25 years old and above, one may enter to perform service in the work of the tabernacle of meeting. In the age of 50 years, they must cease performing this work and shall work no more. They may minister with their brethren in the tabernacle meeting to attend to the needs, but they themselves shall do no work. Thus you shall do the Levites regarding their duties. Wow. It's a lot. But you give to God what belongs to God. For we are righteous, and we must be righteous. And when we go to Numbers chapter 7, life lessons, it says, when Moses went into the tabernacle, a meeting, to speak with him, he heard the voice of one speaking to him from above the mercy seat. And this is Numbers chapter 7, verse 89. Moses heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him from above the ark of the covenant, but did not see his face like Moses. We listen to God's voice and follow his word, looking forward to the day when we see God's face to face. Revelation 22, verse 33 through 4. Numbers 8 and 4, according to the pattern which the Lord has shown Moses, so he made the lampstand. The Lord showed Moses a particular pattern that needed to be followed. How did he show him? We do not know, but we do know that God will use whatever means necessary to show us his will. Can y'all say with me, praise the Lord and hallelujah. The Lord shows us his will. Not my will, not your will, but God's will be done. And as we get into our last two chapters, we are in Numbers chapter 9. And it says, now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time, 10th day of this month, at twilight. You shall keep it at its appointed time, according to all its rites and ceremonies. You shall keep it. So Moses told the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did. Now there were certain men who were defiled by human courts, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron that day, and those men said to him, we became defiled by a human corpse. Why are we kept from presenting the offering of the Lord at its appointed time among the children of Israel? And Moses said to them, stand still that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Moses didn't just make a decision. He said, I got to wait on the Lord. I got to talk to God. We got to make sure that before we do anything, we talk to God. Before we do anything, we take it before the throne. That is what we must do. Before we do anything, we must say, Lord, your will, not mine. And I tell you something. When it's the Lord's will, God gives you double for your trouble. And he will give you the best of the best. You better understand, God don't play. And all you can do is just lay back in awe of the greatness of the Lord. I tell you, God is great and greatly to be praised. I just stand in awe all the time of what God can do. And I just say, Lord, your will, not mine. Because I'm a mess, but God is not. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to tell us in my word this morning. And Moses said to them, stand still one more time, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Not what I command, not what anybody commands, but what the Lord commands. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any one of you or your posterity unclean because of a corpse or is far away on a journey, he may still keep the Lord's Passover on the 14th day of the second month at twilight. They may keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break one of its bones. According to all the ordinance of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover, that same person shall be cut off from among his people, because he did not bring the offering of the Lord at an appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger dwells among you and would keep the Lord's Passover, he must do so according to the rite of the Passover and according to its ceremony. You shall have one ordinance both for the stranger and the native of the land. Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken from above the tabernacle, after that, the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. At the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was, when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days according to the command of the Lord, they would remain in camp. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, then the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain in camp and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. And at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Chapter 10 of Numbers. And it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camp. When they blow, both of them at the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camp that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journey. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow not you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony, and the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journey. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they started out for the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. The standard of the camp of the children of Judah set out first according to their main armies. Over their army was Nashon, the son of Aminadab. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Issachar was Nethanel, the son of Zur. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Zebulun was Eliab, the son of Elon. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set out carrying the tabernacle. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set out according to their armies. Over their army was Eleazar, the son of Shadar. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Simeon was Shelumiel, the son of Zerushaddai. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Gad was Elisaphah, the son of Duel. Then the Korahites set out carrying the holy things. The tabernacle would be prepared for their arrival. And the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim set out according to their armies. Over their army was Elishama, the son of Amminadab. Over the army of the tribes of the children of Manasseh was Jemuel, the son of Pedazar. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Benjamin was Abinadab, the son of Gideoni. Then the standard of the camp of the children of Dan, the rear guard of the camp, set out according to their armies. Over their army was Ahazar, the son of Amishadai. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Asher was Begal, the son of Akron. Over the army of the tribe of the children of Naphtali was Ahar, the son of Enan. Thus was the order of the march of the children of Israel according to their armies when they began their journey. Now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel." And he said to him, "I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives." So Moses said, "Please do not leave, inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. And it shall be, if you go with us, indeed it shall be, that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same will do to you." So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them for the 3 days, journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day, and when they went out from the camp, there was, whenever the ark set out, and that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, let your armies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel." Wow, what a word. Now let's go back into our Proverbs this morning. And just a couple of life lessons, a few life lessons actually, from chapter 9 and 10 is this. Numbers 9 and 8. "Stand still that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you." Despite his exalted leadership position, Moses did not presume to speak for the Lord when the Lord had not spoken to him. He, like all of us, must continually listen for the voice of God. Numbers 9 and 23. "At the command of the Lord, They remained and kept, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. How blessed we would be if we would go when the Lord told us to go and stay when the Lord told us to stay. Obedience is always essential to everything we do in life, and it always brings blessings. And I'll say it again, obedience is better than sacrifice. Numbers 10:10, in the days of your gladness, a close relationship with God always brings gladness. We must take care that we do not focus on duty that we overlook the equal call to joy. Numbers 10:29, come with us and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. Generosity of spirit always accompanies a mature saint of God. Godly believers understand that God blesses them so they might bless others. That is such a word. 2 Corinthians 9:11, if you would like to look up that in the New Testament. And let's go to our Proverbs this morning, starting in Proverbs chapter. Hold on just a moment. Got to pull it in the Bible because you know that's what we do. Proverbs chapter 11. And it says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Again, what does it say? When you're prideful, it's shameful. You have shame. We are seeing that right now with the president of Russia. Prideful, prideful, prideful. This country is being devastated because he wants somebody else's stuff. What does the word of God say? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Come on now. And he's coveting thy neighbor's country. And again, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. A word, and it says this again in a life lesson. Dishonest are an abomination to the Lord, but a just way is his delight. God is as concerned that his people conduct fair and honest business, precious as he is, that their sexual lives honor him. Leviticus 18:22. He delights in a just way because it reflects his righteousness. Thank you, Dr. Sam. We got to understand everything has a place and has an order, and God is in charge of it all. And it goes on to tell us in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way. All right. All right. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. And this is where our title is coming from. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them. But the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. Excuse me. And our last proverb for this morning. And the last word is this. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish. And the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble. And it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. You know, we talked about numerous times the power of the tongue. That little membrane behind your teeth can cause all kinds of things to happen. It is destructive. It can cause war, rumors of war. It can break up marriages. It can do all kind of things. This little teeny thing called a tongue. We got to make sure that we understand that God is in charge of everything. And our righteousness comes from Father God. God is righteous. It's better to be righteous. As we just read in Numbers 11 and Proverbs 11, what the righteous receive. But we also saw what happens to the wicked. It's better to be righteous. What did it tell us in the Word? When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perishes. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. And hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. We got to understand, we don't want to be wicked. You want to be righteous. It's better to be righteous with the Lord than wicked with the evil one. Because with the Lord, you're going to make it in to heaven through that narrow gate. But a whole bunch through that wide gate are going to follow what is du jour, the whatever pleasure of the day, whatever is going on the day. You know what? This is the newest dance. Let's follow that crowd. This is the newest drink. Let's follow that crowd. This is the newest TikTok. Let's do it and follow that crowd. This is the latest. Ooh, he fine. Let me follow him. Ooh, she fine. Let me follow her. And where you find yourself following everything that's du jour of the day into the fires of hell. And we saw that in our word on Friday. I believe it talked about going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be in hell. I want to be with the Savior. So I want to be right and righteous for God. Hallelujah. Do what you're supposed to do and watch God work in your life. Be righteous, for he is righteous. And I say this from our sister in Christ, Sister Carol. The words of wisdom for this weekend. The first is this. Joy is a product of God's presence. Whew, can you say hallelujah? Let's declare the joy of the Lord today. And that's, we're going to say have a super Sunday. And for today is the word. And it says this. Good morning. God is the ultimate influence in our lives because he loves us enough to give his life for us. Have a blessed Sunday, family. Take care, family. I thank God today for his grace. I thank God today for his love. And I thank God today for his son. And as you go to church today, normally this is first Sunday in many congregations, and it's Communion Sunday. We all need to examine ourselves. Before we take that cup, examine yourself, ask forgiveness, repent of anything you may have done or said, and watch God work in your life. All I can say is I'm grateful, I'm thankful, and I'm blessed to have been with you this morning. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. And today we're going to go back into our word one more time, and we're going to pray the prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed day, family. Remember, find a Bible teaching, Bible believing church, and watch God work in your life. And keep trusting God. Again, it's better to be righteous. Have a blessed day. It is what? It's a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to Sunday school. Be blessed.